The earth moves, and a devastating night in Haiti becomes a grim new day.
I've heard people screaming around us. We have not been able to go down and assess it, but there's fatalities all over the place.
A major 7-magnitude earthquake strikes Haiti, and the vulnerable nation is reported in chaos this morning. The magnitude of the disaster, that calculation is just beginning. It's The Takeaway.
All across America, this is The Takeaway with John Hockenberry and Celeste Headlee from Public Radio International and WNYC.
Good morning, everyone. It's Wednesday, January 13th, and The Takeaway this morning is thinking about Haiti at the beginning of an almost unimaginable rescue and recovery process right now.
And a country that is less capable of handling this kind of catastrophe I can't think
possibly.
Of. Let's get right to our top story this morning. It's been a hellish night in Port-au-Prince, the crowded coastal city of more than 2 million people.
The thing is that the communication is really difficult. I heard that the hospital is collapsed, the National Palace is collapsed. I see at least 5 big buildings that collapsed. It's really a disaster.
The 7.0 earthquake struck yesterday afternoon and has been followed by at least 20 aftershocks through the night. Buildings, from simple shacks to a hospital to government buildings, all came tumbling down, leaving the city clouded in dust and rubble. Here's another eyewitness.
In a situation like this, I'm quite sure there are going to be a lot of people who are trapped on the debris, so we will need rescue missions.
Even a rough estimate of casualties is impossible at this time.
The dawn is about an hour away in Port-au-Prince, and many injured people are reportedly waiting for help in the streets, crying out from beneath the rubble. Medical facilities are reportedly overwhelmed. This missionary in the city tells the Associated Press,
the worst thing is how they're going to deal with this. They just don't have the capacity, medically or otherwise, to deal with this kind of a disaster or tragedy.
Secretary of State Hillary Clinton says U.S. rescue teams are being dispatched.
We will be providing both civilian and military disaster relief and humanitarian assistance.
The main United Nations building in the city has been damaged, with an official Chinese newspaper saying 8 Chinese peacekeepers were killed and 10 others missing. We're joined now by Laurent Dubois, who's a professor at Duke University. He's a historian on Haiti. Professor, first of all, good morning.
Good morning.
And a sad occasion to be speaking, but I'm wondering if you could help us understand why Haiti is in such a vulnerable situation in terms of infrastructure and its apparent challenge in dealing with a rescue and recovery operation of this type.
Well, it's been, you know, in many ways a very difficult couple of decades in Haiti. Obviously, disasters have struck before, but there's also been a great deal of political turmoil. There's still a UN mission in Haiti, which was actually hard hit by the earthquake itself. So in terms of the infrastructure of the state, in terms of hospital infrastructures, and those sorts of things are really in a difficult situation in from the day to day. So
right.
This kind of disaster is really going to be a huge, huge burden.
What are you hearing from your friends and contacts? Anything?
I was just more and more shocked as I learned more news. I mean, the scale of the destruction is incredible. The National Palace, which is basically, you know, like the White House or the capital of the country, has collapsed. There are a lot of other major structures. I've heard that the cathedral, which is a beautiful old cathedral in Port-au-Prince, may have collapsed. And obviously just a huge death toll. So I think it's hard to really imagine.
Well, we're going to try to get a sense of the scale of this disaster. Professor Laurent Dubois is a professor at Duke University.
In looking at the markets, futures are mixed. The Dow will start at 10,627. The S&P opens at 1,136 and the NASDAQ at 2,282.
So our call out this morning is to the Haitian community. We want to know how you're coping with this devastating earthquake.
Everything is destroyed in the city. That's my problem to them. I don't know what can I do.
There are Haitian Americans all over this country. We want to know the story of how you've tried to reach out, get a sense of your feeling of history and the vulnerability of your nation. Call us at 877-8-MY-TAKE or send us an email to mytake@thetakeaway.org. All this morning, live coverage and all the details of the aftermath and the recovery as night ends and day breaks in Port-au-Prince.
You're listening to The Takeaway with John Hockenberry and Celeste Headlee.
Good morning, everyone. It was a normal late afternoon winter day in the normally chaotic city of Port-au-Prince, Haiti, when at 5 p.m. a 7.0 earthquake struck the capital and the surrounding areas, toppling everything from simple homes and shacks to the ornate National Palace. The dead and injured reportedly lay in the streets, even as strong aftershocks continued. It's the most powerful earthquake to hit Haiti in more than 200 years, and we want to give you as much a sense of what it's like to be there as within the hour the sun will rise over a city that we understand from all kinds of reports is completely devastated. Here's an eyewitness.
Right now, the situation is really difficult. There's no electricity outside. There's people who need a place to stay. There's people who's bleeding, who need medication and care. There's people who's under those buildings that collapsed, who need someone to get them out.
The infrastructure in Port-au-Prince has been severely damaged, and communication with the city is difficult. Nevertheless, we have lines out to Port-au-Prince. And during this segment and for the entire hour, whenever we get somebody from the Haitian capital, we will go to them. Right now, we are speaking with Laurent Dubois, who's a professor at Duke University. He's a historian of the nation of Haiti and joins us from his home in North Carolina. And again, we may interrupt you if we go to Port-au-Prince, Professor, but bear with us, will you?
Of course. Mm-hmm.
So you were talking just there at the top of the hour that as you see the little anecdotal reports of the damage, the National Palace, apparently damage to a significant cathedral there in this 80% Catholic nation, it was hitting you emotionally because you know these places very well.
Yes, and I mean, obviously, I know people who are there. I did hear last night. I've got a student who's there right now, who is okay, although hurt. So there's a lot of, you know, this is obviously affecting people across the country very seriously.
And tell us about the density of Port-au-Prince and the historic sort of rise in population over the last few decades. You alluded to political instability at the top of the hour there. Give us a sense of how vulnerable these people are.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's been, you know, there's been a huge migration over the last several decades from the countryside into Port-au-Prince. And many people have ended up living in pretty tightly packed neighborhoods that are, a lot of them are built on hillsides around and in the capital. So a lot of these houses are small houses, and obviously there are concrete structures, but also other smaller structures. So those kinds of houses are obviously extremely vulnerable in an earthquake. It also sounds, though, that people in concrete houses have fallen down. There's damage in Pétionville, which has a lot of larger houses. I've been following the several Twitter feeds, and it's clear that several of the larger hotels have been really badly hit as well.
Tell us the significance of the hotels, because it's our understanding that the United Nations is based in at least one of those hotels, and we have a report from a Chinese newspaper that perhaps as many as 8 Chinese peacekeepers have been killed in the devastation around the UN headquarters.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I mean, I've heard that the UN headquarters has collapsed. That's pretty important since the UN security forces are there and are important, could be an important way to help people. It sounds like the Hotel Montana, which has been a headquarters for many of the UN staff, may have been very badly hit as well. So those are all really significant, and I think people have been communicating from those hotels. But I think the real question is about what's going on in the neighborhoods, in these smaller neighborhoods on the hillsides, where I think there's going to be an enormous amount of devastation, and they're going to need a great deal of help.
And let's remind people that unlike perhaps other nations, when you talk about the United Nations headquarters being hit and some of the NGOs and aid agencies being devastated in this earthquake, you're really talking about the institutions that the people in those neighborhoods actually look to for help. They're not really looking to the government in Haiti because of the situation that you've described, right?
Well, yeah, I think the government obviously is important too, and there is a local Haitian police force, but the UN police are very present in the city, and they play a big role. So they're obviously quite important. It does sound like at least the student I was in contact with went to a UN camp, and it sounds like the UN camps are maybe serving as places of refuge for people who have had to leave their homes or neighborhoods. But it's obviously just a really difficult and chaotic situation. So it's obviously the sooner that other help can get in, the better.
And the U.S. Aid agencies are sending relief operations, and they're being mobilized from around the hemisphere as well. We're talking with Laurent Dubois, professor at Duke University. You know, we got this report. We've all been looking at the same Twitter feeds, I suspect, overnight. Thousands of people were gathered in public squares late into the night. We heard from a number of sources singing hymns and weeping. I mean, I can certainly understand the sentiment there, but this idea of gathering in public places, does that sound familiar to you as someone who knows Haiti well?
Well, yeah, I think so. I think we read, you know, I think this is, people are obviously trying to come together. They're obviously, many people can't stay in their homes and are looking for solace. So obviously people are gathering, and I've heard a lot of reports about singing, and people are pulling together. I mean, this is a place that has held together in part through the strength of religion and community. And so I think that's, in a sense, a natural and an important response for the communities to hold together that way.
Professor Dubois, you know, we have been saying, and a lot of people have been talking about how ill-prepared this country is to deal with this kind of tragedy. Obviously, they had four severe storms or hurricanes last year, but this is a country that's coming out of deep poverty. But can you kind of help us understand, is this a country for which all aid will need to come from outside the country? What kind of preparedness do they have there to deal with casualties, to deal with injuries?
I mean, there's obviously some, you know, there are going to be some, there's some certain amount of medical infrastructure. I think it's just that it's already strained on a day-to-day level, so a disaster of this magnitude is really going to overburden the system that exists. I mean, I think, you know, there's going to be communities that are going to come together and there's a lot of people there who will obviously be able to help each other, but there's just a kind of a magnitude of the disaster that I think is obviously going to outpace, I mean, it would outpace any structure in a way, but Haiti, I think, is just, is also already so difficult for people to get health care that this is going to be very serious, especially for people who are in more populated neighborhoods and maybe already in really difficult circumstances.
And Professor Dubois, we learned that this earthquake was more devastating than any event of its kind in 200 or more years.
Mm-hmm.
That's a long span of history. Before we go to the break in the last few seconds, give us a sense of historically. I mean, what kind of an arc is that, the last 200 years?
Well, it's been, Haiti is born out of a plantation slavery economy. It's born out of enslavement and then a slave revolution against that. It has been a country that has struggled in the international arena as well and been isolated often. So this is a place that kind of, you know, there have been aftershocks of history affecting this country too for the last 200 years.
There's the takeaway. Aftershocks of history, and we're feeling them this morning. Laurent Dubois is with us all hours, professor at Duke University, a historian of Haiti, reporting on the devastating earthquake, a 7-magnitude quake last night in Port-au-Prince. And now at 15 minutes after the hour, let's take a look at some of the headlines we're following.
We've been talking about yesterday's powerful earthquake in Haiti. In the past few minutes, the Red Cross said up to 3 million people have been affected by the quake. Meanwhile, the United States is sending a disaster relief team to the area. The epicenter of the 7.0 quake was near the densely populated capital, Port-au-Prince. Communications have been largely cut. There have been some reports through the night of crowds gathering in the darkness and singing hymns, as John mentioned. They have nowhere else to go. Let's bring you up to date now with some other news. The details are still unclear, but Afghan officials say two American service members have died in a bomb blast in eastern Afghanistan. That raises U.S. casualties in the country to 12 this month. Meanwhile, a report by the United Nations says the death toll among Afghan civilians last year was higher than in any year since the war began in 2001. The UN reports that over 2,400 civilians were killed, most in attacks by the Taliban.
Big story out of China. Google says it will stop censoring its search results and is even threatening to pull out of China if state censorship continues there. It's a rare show of defiance in a system where foreign companies often accept restrictions to gain access to the huge Chinese market. In economic news, a senior administration official says President Obama is ready to announce a new fee on the country's biggest financial firms. The move is an attempt to recoup as much as $120 billion in Wall Street bailout funds. An announcement is expected later this week. Finally, a second big chain store says it's halting sales of jewelry suspected of being tainted with cadmium from China. That's a look at some of the stories we're watching. Full coverage of Haiti. Stay with us.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex. Of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.